It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them for GoLoots.com. I talk about them on the radio, as you're listening to right now. I do all I can with sports, even though I do not play them anymore. Joining me in studio, as always, is a member of the PLU football team. He's the only athlete left on staff. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've had better weekends in my life, but you know, probably my favorite part of the weekend was the Twitter poll you sent out of which Winter had the better weekend on, or better day on Saturday. I had two catches for 52 yards, one TD. My little bro had six catches for 74 yards. Final tally is 16 votes, 50-50. So, you know, I'm happy with those results.
I obviously think there's an argument. Either way. Mm-hmm. And the only reason, because initially you look at that and go, oh, DJ had a touchdown. Better day for sure.
I thought the opposite. I thought Brady was going to kill me in this poll.
But your touchdown went for 48 yards.
Yeah.
Meaning you only had like one other reception for like
four
yards.
It's called a vertical threat, ladies and gentlemen.
So it was a valid threat, or not a threat, but a valid poll, I thought. So.
Yeah.
No, it turns out it was, because it ended 50-50.
Yeah, it was a very fun one. I was following it the past couple days and giving Brady updates because he doesn't have a Twitter. So
yeah, I was looking for his Twitter to tag him too. I thought we would have got a lot of traffic, but yeah. Little Winter doesn't have a Twitter, so
not as popular as me.
Man, we just got you on Twitter though.
That's true. I was thinking about it for a long time, and then you were like, "All right, you and Seth need to have Twitters by the next show," and I'm like, okay, like that gives me a reason to have one. So I decided to finally hop on the train.
Follow him on Twitter at DJWinter87, correct?
Yep. Thank you.
Also joining us, our new co-host. He's a half athlete just like myself. His name is Seth Bershing. Seth, how are you? How did your weekend go?
My weekend was all right. You can probably guess what I was doing this weekend. But I do have a little trivia fact for you today,
okay,
Christian.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I heard on the radio this morning on my way over here that it was on this day in history that the city of Seattle was awarded their first MLB baseball team, the Seattle Pilots.
Ooh. Okay. Oh, nice. Nice. That's something to celebrate.
Speaking of that, did you guys see that the MLB might expand to Portland and Montreal in a 32-team league, four divisions, no American League, National League? Just four divisions, eight teams each.
When did that story come out? I missed it.
I want to say yesterday, honestly.
Man, I am behind on the time. Story came out yesterday. That would be interesting. Yeah. That'd be very interesting. As you were saying that, I was wondering, like, right now they have five teams in each, you know, division. And I was like, well, that would throw everything off. But if it was just going to be four divisions, no National League, no American League, then, yeah, maybe it would make sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
How was your weekend, Christian?
Oh, it was so much fun. We had soccer here.
A lot of action.
We had soccer here. Well, it started actually on Friday night. I had Graham Kapowson and Olympia for 1180 AM Clay Radio, and that was a pretty smooth game. Graham Kapowson won it handily. And then on Saturday, we had homecoming, and we had soccer and football going on, so I was here with soccer and saw the PLU men's soccer team win 2-0, and then motored on over to football to see the second half of the PLU football game, which we'll talk about here
wasn't
in a minute.
Much.
And then Sunday, I got to broadcast my very first soccer game, and that went well. You'll hear a clip from that.
There you go.
Later on in the show.
Have you ever tried like playing FIFA and trying to commentate that?
I feel like that's too much to do. I have not, but I feel like I would not like to do it.
Maybe you could just watch the computer play and just commentate it.
I don't know.
Get some practice in.
Yeah, it would be a way to get practice in. We want to remind you right now that if you like what you hear and you want to listen to the show in full form, you could do it at massmedia.plu.edu. Check us out there. Our YouTube page has grown exponentially over the last week.
Nice vocab.
Shout out to the Kinesiology 314 team building class. A lot of them subscribe to our YouTube page. It's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. We are all the way up to 57 subscribers.
Hey.
I want to get to 100 by the end of the year. So if you could help us out and go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page. Again, it's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. There's tons of stuff on there. There's clips from this show. There is some highlights from broadcasts I do with 1180 AM Clay Radio. There's also some video work that we've done in the past, the Half Athlete Tries series, which we're trying to find a videographer to film some more of those because they were a lot of fun, and I think they turned out really well. So,
is Eric not doing it anymore?
Eric Swartout is a full-time teacher at Eatonville High School until he comes back and does his capstone here at POU. Okay. That's all he has, literally all he has left. So he's going to come back and do his capstone and throw javelin and but we're looking for someone to help us out with that. So we'll see. We'll see if that project gets pushed to the front. I don't know if it will or not. So if you want to call us, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. If you want to tell us which winter had the better day last weekend, you could do that.
Well, I want to get people's input on that.
I do. I really do. So call us 253-535-7332. Let's start with that POU football game on Saturday. It was homecoming. POU was playing Whitworth, and the Lutes lost 17-14. Whitworth was missing their stud quarterback. They played the entire game with the backup. Is that correct, DJ?
Yes, it is.
And Lutes were leading 14-10 with 3 minutes left in the first half after
and
DJ.
And at halftime.
Yeah. You scored that 48-yard touchdown that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So POU getting the big plays that they need. But in the third quarter, Whitworth came up with a big play of their own. Tariq Ellis, the running back for Whitworth, broke off a 60-yard touchdown run right up the middle of the field. And that would go on to be the game winner. It was another week where the POU offense statistically was a little bit better than the Whitworth offense. POU gained 345 yards on the day. Whitworth only gained 301. And then the turnover battle, POU owned it. Whitworth turned the ball over twice, and POU held on to the biscuit. But still, Lutes end up falling by three on homecoming. So, DJ, I'll let you go. Go ahead and say what you want to say. If you don't want to say anything, Seth, we can talk about it.
I guess the only thing I'm going to say is, you know, same story, different day.
Right.
No finishing in the red zone, field goals or touchdowns. You know, like you said before, we need that big play in order to score. And I think one thing we need to do a better job of is if a play is working, go back to it more than once. I don't want to say too much here because I do have strong feelings about why we lost.
Well, it's a frustrating situation. You're right in the middle of it. So if you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to talk about it at all.
Yeah.
But like we talked about last week, you know, I'm getting more and more bored of hearing how the POU football team is, you know, 3 plays, 7 yards, and 3.5 minutes from being 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm done listening to stuff like that.
There's a deeper story. There's a deeper story to that, and you know, you could read into it more. But that's really, you know, that's where it starts, and then you got to dive deeper into that. Because, you know, that's been a common trend the past couple of years.
Right.
And even, you know, not so much my sophomore year. We just sucked that year. But
brutal.
Yeah. But my freshman year, you know, the games we lost were close games. Like, we lost to Pacific by a field goal.
Yeah.
And then we kind of got our butts kicked by Linfield. But, you know.
A lot of people have. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But you got to be able to finish. And we gotta find a way to gain those extra points up on the scoreboard. We've had twice this year in the two conference games that we have lost, you know, we had linemen downfield and we scored touchdowns on those plays. That's just as simple as, you know, stay flat to the line. That goes back to basic football 101.
Yeah.
Overall
is just a bad loss for POU which is getting tiresome. Let's move on to the happier times, because luckily that was the only bummer on homecoming weekend. POU women's soccer was on the road all weekend long on Friday night. They beat George Fox 5-0. And then on Sunday, POU beat Pacific 2-0. The craziest part about this 7-goal weekend was that 7 different players scored over the weekend. That's crazy. Seth, you want to add anything to that, or?
Well, they're 9-1 in conference play right now, so I'm going to assume they're right at the top of their conference.
They are in first place.
And I do have one stat that I really liked about the team so far. In their 10 conference games, they have outscored opponents 27-2, and they've outshot opponents 215-67.
Jeez. They are
very dominant.
The offensive attack is definitely, I don't know, working out for them.
There's just so many options between Mikayla Grady and Kaylee Roselle and Leah McGee, and now Kari Mills is throwing her name in the mix. I mean, there's
Liz Griffith.
There's a, exactly. You can't even name all of them. There's so many. So
yeah.
So the POU women's soccer team is up to good. Let's move on to another team that's doing great right now. POU volleyball. They were on the road also. They had games against Whitworth and Whitman.
Big ones.
On Friday night, Whitworth jumped out to a 2-0 lead. POU was down. Their backs were up against it. And then all of a sudden, a come-from-behind win to take the game 3-2. That win gave POU sole possession of first place in the Northwest Conference. So that was huge. Then on Saturday, POU swept Whitman 3-0. And kind of a crazy situation earlier in the year. POU lost to Whitman at home. Kind of an unexpected little bit of a punch in the mouth. Kind of got volleyball back on track. But yeah, 3-2 lost to Whitman earlier in the year. And then they go on the road to Whitman and sweep them 3-0. So good stuff there from volleyball.
Yeah, Julia, I was talking to Julia last night. I'm pretty sure she starts for the team. She's in one of my classes. And she said Whitworth thought they were, you know, the cat's meow after they won those two games and got a little big-headed, which the mental side is such a big part of sports. And then POU was able to come back 25-14, 25-17, and 15-9. So that was a very quality win for the Lutes.
Absolutely. Fun stat, and I don't know how many other POU coaches I want to know about this stat, but if I am the primary writer for your team on GoLutes.com, you are in first place right now in your conference. So I don't know what that means for my work schedule coming forward, but I am
come over to football, man.
That's why I didn't want a lot of people to know about it. Yeah, so that's kind of a fun little thing that I get to say.
Well, that's a cool little stat.
It's so meaningless.
That's like one of those Sports Center stats.
Yeah,
where it's like, oh,
no relevancy at all.
Yeah, for 40 plus year old quarterbacks, he's thrown this many touchdowns. Like,
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, it means nothing. Men's soccer. Let's wrap things up with our last major fall sport. At home for the weekend, games against Pacific and George Fox. Mentioned it earlier on Saturday, the Lutes took a 2-0 win over Pacific. They had goals that came from Eddie Nah and Joe Sammartino. And then on Sunday, the Lutes played George Fox, and it took overtime to find a winner. And let's take a listen to what it sounded like.
As it works back to Emmanuel Saar, who's going to try and find one of his teammates up near the box. He finds Eddie Nah, who's working 3-on-1. Now Nah finds some hole. He takes a shot. It's blocked. And Bennett Bugby now going to do the same. He plays it on the ground to Jackson Miller, who has a shot, and it's deflected. Here's a follow from Chris Trussell, and it's good. POU takes the game in the first overtime on a goal from Chris Trussell to give them a 1-0 win over George Fox.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like on Sunday afternoon, so.
Nice. Hey, nice call.
Thanks, man. That was baby's first soccer broadcast, so glad I got to have a game like that to call.
Men's soccer has really, you know, been exciting this year. They're in second. I know they're in second place right now, and
they've won 5 straight, and 3 of those 5 games have been in overtime.
Yeah.
So go to a men's soccer game because they're awesome right now.
Exactly.
Oh man, it's been a lot of fun around POU athletics so far this fall. But right now we got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the weekend for the entire state's college football atmosphere. Specifically at that Division I level, and how disappointing it was to watch the Washington State Cougars and the University of Washington Huskies. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's Half Athlete. I'm joined in studio by DJ Winter. He's a member of the POU football team. He's a tight end. He wears number 87.
Vertical threat.
And I'm also joined by our new co-host. His name is Seth Bershing. He's a half athlete like myself. Works at Dairy Queen, actually. You had a story, going back to our last segment. I know we're not supposed to do this, but you had a story about the George Fox men's soccer team. What happened?
So it was Saturday, the day before PLU played George Fox, and I was at work. And the George Fox soccer team actually came into Dairy Queen. So, I mean, they got their
before
ice cream
the game,
and their
correct?
Goodies. Yep, the day before the game.
So you know what you need to eat the day before if you want to lose in overtime, and that's Dairy Queen. So message to all you student-athletes
SMH.
Out there. Don't go to Dairy Queen the day before if you don't want to lose. If you like what you're listening to and you want to listen to it again in full form, you can do it at massmedia.pou.edu. That's where you can find every single podcast that we've ever done. We are underneath the sports tab this year. So go ahead, click on sports, find sports podcast, listen to Half Athlete Radio, listen to What's the Big Deal, listen to H&C Sports, listen to all of it because all of it is pretty solid. So so check us out there. Also, our YouTube page, it's blowing up. We all of a sudden, in 1 week, have 57 subscribers. Not one total week, but we've grown from like 40-ish to 57. So shout out to anyone who has subscribed to the Half Athlete YouTube page.
And still subscribe, even if you're, you know, even if you don't watch them. We still need numbers.
We need statistics because all three of us need jobs after college. That's why we came here. So help me make my resume beautiful
help
people want to hire me because I think I'm hireable and I want other people to think I'm hireable.
Christian, I would hire you.
Thank you. Yeah. That means a lot. But what can you hire me for? I don't even know.
Just, you know, whatever you please.
If you want to call us and talk to us about sports, or if you want to offer me a job in sports radio, you can do it at 253-535-7332. If you want to tell us which winner had the better day on Saturday against Whitworth, you can do that at 253-535-7332. Ran a Twitter poll and we had a tie right down the middle, whether DJ or Brady had the better day. So you can call us at any time and tell us who did better that day.
I won't be mad if people say Brady. That's just part of the game.
I don't think Brady would be mad if people said DJ.
I want it.
So let's talk about a team that was not great Friday night. The Washington State Cougars lost to Cal. Huge. 37-3 was the final score of that one. You guys go for it. Tell me what you saw during this game because
Seth?
Ugh.
Just how does that happen if you're a good team for the Cougars to lose by 34 points to a not very good California team?
Right.
I can't seem to justify how that's acceptable if we're supposed to believe that the Cougars are a legitimate contender.
Right.
Yes, I mean, I haven't really been bought into the Cougs all year, sorry. Because for the main fact that they always have games where they quote-unquote Coug it. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those games. Yes, they have been playing lights out, stellar football. But you got to remember, their first five games were at home. And we really haven't seen them have a road test.
That's true.
You know, Cal at the beginning of the year was pretty dang good, and then they kind of dropped off the edge a little bit. But they played some tough teams like USC and UW, two teams top of the conference. And I think playing on a Friday night at a stadium that didn't have a lot of people because of the unfortunate circumstances of the fires down there, there wasn't a lot of energy, and the Cougs weren't able to create that energy they needed to have a good output. They had seven turnovers too. You're not going to win many games with seven turnovers.
That's absurd. Another thing that was absurd, I heard on the radio, coming into the game, Cal had 11 sacks on the year. That included a game against Ole Miss where they had five sacks in that game. Mm-hmm. Midway through the third quarter, Cal had eight sacks on Luke Fulk.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous of just letting the other team do what they want to do.
And in the scheme of things, Wazoo gets the ball out very quickly. Mm-hmm. In their air raid offense.
In their system, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they throw screens all over the place because that pretty much is their version of their running game,
right.
Which picks up 5 yards. So, that again.
But it also is easier for other teams to just send their pass rushers out there every play because they know the Cougs are a pass-heavy team.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They also got to drop a lot, too, like 8 guys in the coverage a lot of the time. So a lot of the time they're only getting a 3-man rush on the Cougs.
It's just another instance of, you know, starting to understand that strength of schedule isn't really decided until the year's over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah. So let's talk about the UW game. I know they came into the game ranked 5th, high hopes for the season as well. What do you think happened in that game, Seth?
Well, I didn't get to see most of it. I saw the fourth quarter, and the offense just didn't have it for the first 3 quarters, is my understanding.
Yeah. Tempe is always a tough place to win. The
don't believe they've
Dogs,
won there since 2001.
Yep, they haven't won there since 2001, and this was the highest-ranked team the Sun Devils have beaten since they beat Nebraska, who was then number one in 1996.
We got to pause for just a second because we had a caller call in. This is Heine. You can hear him on Friday mornings on HNC Sports. He wants to tell us who had the better weekend between Brady and DJ Winter. Heine, go ahead and tell us what's up.
All right, first of all, before I say anything between Brady and DJ... DJ, you forgot one team that Cal played, and it was SDSU, and they lost. So they played 3 rough teams right there.
Yep.
SDSU was the 3rd team, DJ. I think you just forgot it. It was probably an honest mistake, but San Diego State. between Brady and DJ, I would have to go with Brady, winner.
How come?
Adam showed me a play. Adam McShane, offensive lineman from PLU, showed me a play this past week where Brady blocked one of their really good corners out of bounds, and you know what? Brady caught the ball a lot, and he made plays. And one of the plays, he was ruled out of bounds, and I don't think he was out of bounds, and he's a playmaker.
So this is why you got to listen to HNC Sports on Friday mornings at 10, because Heine knows his stuff. Right away, he starts out by straightening DJ up on something he forgot talking about right now.
Hey, appreciate it, Heine.
And then also, when picking between which winner had the better Saturday, he's going to go next level and talk about a block that Brady had.
Mm-hmm.
That is outstanding stuff. Heine, thank you so much for calling in, man.
Yeah. Keep having an awesome show.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so talk about UW and
we were talking about UW,
Arizona State down and their bad loss. Continue with what you had going on.
Well, like I was saying, Tempe, and like Seth pointed out, they haven't won down there since 2001. Coming into the game, you know, UW averaged, I think it was like 43 or something points per game. And they weren't able to get on the board until the third quarter. It was 13-0 at half. They held Miles Gaskin to only 67 rushing yards. UW, you know, they like to establish the run, and they weren't able to do that against this ASU defense, who had an extra week to prepare because they had a bye week before.
All right. I think that it's more of an instance where everything that could have gone right for Arizona State did.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that went wrong for UW
went wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you kind of, the most telling part, I guess, of that game, as far as that take is concerned, is that pass near the end of the game where Arizona State throws the ball and one of the Arizona State receivers jumps up to attempt to make the grab and then realizes it's not intended for them and then throws his arm down. And then there's literally like 3 Husky defenders
around the ball.
It
flies
right through the middle.
Skimmed the helmet of a Husky defender.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, it just worked for Arizona State last weekend.
Yeah. And we talk about football as a game of inches, you know, 2 inches to the right, 2 inches to the left, 2 inches higher, 2 inches lower. That pass is not complete.
Absolutely.
And another tough deal looking forward. The Huskies lost their starting left tackle, Trey Adams, you know, a projected
first-round pick.
Yeah, first-round pick in the next year's NFL draft, and they lost their top cornerback, Jordan Miller, on that exact play, the pass that ASU converted to a first down, which ended up sealing the game. So it's going to be tough to replace those guys.
Yep. All right. We're gonna go ahead and take a break. We gotta quit talking about such a disappointment. It's making me sad how disappointing.
Hey, on the bright side, Washington still has 2 teams ranked in the top 10 in Division II and Division I FCS in Eastern Washington and Central. They're both undefeated and are having great seasons.
Well, there you go. Maybe we'll talk about them next week because these D1 programs are losing and causing everyone problems.
And UW doesn't play this weekend, so.
All right. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, it's a bye week for the Seahawks. It was a bye week for the Seahawks.
So we're going to try and identify what we've seen through the last week. We'll give this team a defensive identity, and then we'll do our best to try and give this team an offensive identity. Don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's Half Athlete, joined in studio by a tight end for the POU football team. That's DJ Winter.
Yo.
Also joined by another Half Athlete in Seth Bershing. He's our new co-host. You should check out his stuff. Follow him on Twitter, actually. Brand new to Twitter, aren't you, Seth?
I am.
What is your handle?
It is underscore Seth Bershing.
Bang. That's an easy follow right there, Seth Bershing. Check him out on Twitter. If you want to listen to this entire show, you can do it at mastermedia.pou.edu. You can listen to this show and everything else we've done here on Loot Air Student Radio, so check us out there. Also, hit up the YouTube page. It's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Subscribe to our page. We're trying to get to 100 subscribers right now. We're at 57. A big thanks to the Kinesiology 314 team building course here at POU. They helped us out a lot last week, but give us a follow over there on YouTube. If you want to call us and talk about the Seattle Seahawks, they had a bye week last week, so we're going to try and give both sides of the ball an identity here from what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. If you want to do that as well, you can do it. 253-535-7332. Again, give us a call. 253-535-7332. DJ, I want you to start it off. Please try and give this Seattle Seahawks team an identity on the defensive side of the ball. What have you seen over the first couple of weeks of the season, and what are they?
On defensively, they're the same old. I guess that's my identity for them.
I like that.
Yeah, they're still one of the top teams in the league when it comes to defense. They've given up 17 to the Packers, 12 to the Niners. Obviously, that Titans game was a little bit of a fluke, in my opinion. 18 to the Colts, and only 10 to the Rams. And I think in the Rams game, we really saw them come into their own. They're finally starting to gel and getting their, you know, midseason form, if you will. And I think we'll just continue to see them get better and better week in and week out.
Right. Okay, Seth, let's hear your identity for the Seahawks.
If I had to give the defense an identity in one word, I would say swarming. They're always around the ball. They're always making what they call hawk tackles. The way they wrap up, they're always getting to the ball. Earl Thomas is all over the field every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The linebackers, too, are always getting to the runner or the quarterback. Whoever's got the ball, they're always there to make the tackle. Offensively?
We'll wait on the offense. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's talk a little. Let's continue. I'm going to try and identify this team. I set the question up, and you guys have both given very good answers. Now I feel like I don't know if I'm going to be able to give the same exact answer. But, gosh, I like same old, same old. I like swarming, too. Swarming is also very good. DJ, can you – do you have the schedule in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Can you reiterate those teams that they played?
They have played Green Bay, San Francisco, Tennessee, Bad. Indianapolis, and Bad. Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'll go. I'm going to go. They're not the best defense in the league. Buffalo is the best defense as far as points is concerned.
Yeah.
Buffalo's only given up 14.8 points per game this year. Seattle sits sixth, 17.4 points per game. I'll go bend but don't break. It's kind of classic, kind of cliche. They've given up big plays. The Tennessee game is an outlier. I think you take that one away and Seattle has to be near the top as far as points allowed throughout games. But bend don't break, they're doing a great job of not allowing teams to score, which is playing defense. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm going to go with, bend don't break.
What would be an interesting stat to see is in the red zone, how many touchdowns do they give up? because right. I feel like they once teams get in the red zone, they do a good job of holding teams to just getting field goals. And they, you know, really the big plays you see or the plays that came from the Tennessee game, which we talked about was kind of the outlier. Like, they had big plays just from, like, their own, like, 35-yard line or something like that.
Something that proves that. I mean, they are sixth in points per game, giving up, you know, 17 points per game.
Yeah.
But as far as yards per game is concerned, they're middle of the row. They're sitting in 15th. They're allowing 330 yards per game.
And ultimately, it comes down more to points than it does yards.
Right. And that's why I'm saying bend, no break, because, you know, they've given up the big plays, but it's been from 20 to 20 instead of inside the 20 and into the end zone. So.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that they do really well is take the ball away, creating turnovers. I know they're in the top 7 or 8 in the league right now in turnover differential. They're very good at, even when they do give up the big plays, at taking the ball away and not allowing any points on those big plays, on those long drives.
Mm-hmm. And something to look at going forward is going to be, you know, how do they do against the better teams? Deshaun Watson right now has 15 passing touchdowns. That leads all quarterbacks in the NFL currently as we speak. They're going to go up against a pretty good quarterback in Eli Manning this weekend. We got the Redskins still, the Falcons, Matty Ice, Carson Wentz and the Eagles, Dak and the Cowboys. So, and even Carson Palmer, he's second in the league right now in passing yards.
Seth, I don't mean to bust you up by saying that they take the ball away, but I don't know that they do. They have 4 interceptions on the year. That puts them in the bottom third of the league even. And they have forced 3 fumbles, but they've only taken away 1.
But their turnover differential is still very good.
Yeah? Okay, let me try and find that next, because...
Do it right now.
Okay.
I looked it up.
Okay. Well, what is it then? What is it then if you looked it up?
It's +4 for the season right now.
Where would I find that?
I don't know. Just
how do you know?
Wait. Turnover differential.
Oh, man.
So right now...
Okay, DJ found it.
Jacksonville is the best with +10, Buffalo +8, Kansas City +7, Detroit +6, New Orleans +6.
Yeah, where are the Seahawks?
The Seahawks are in that next tier. Philadelphia +4.
Middle of the row?
Seattle +4.
They're
6. They're 7th. They're 7th right now.
Okay, 7.
So, you know, not terrible, but, you know, well, that'll probably improve as the season goes along. Russell is known for, you know, consistently not throwing a ton of interceptions. But
it's harder than I thought it would be to try and identify this defense, because you want to say words like dominant and things like that because of how few points they've given up. But I mean,
really the only good team they played is Packers.
Right. Well, the Rams, I think the Rams are a little bit more legit than people are giving them credit, but like you said, yes, the only tough team that they played.
And
they
really don't look dominant when you're watching the game live because of how much yardage they give up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize until fourth quarter or even after the game, like, wow, they only gave up 13 points today.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And we really got to be appreciative of how lucky we have been to have a great defense for this long.
Right.
I do think one key factor into down the stretch, if this defense is going to continue its success, is the status of Cliff Averill. He's going to go see some more specialists this week, but that's still a very, you know, open discussion on if he's going to be able to play another down of football or not.
Right. It's tough to identify this team defensively. Let's move forward. This one might be
even tougher,
but more fun probably. Let's try and give the Seattle Seahawks, through the, you know, whatever amount of games that they've played, let's try and give them an identity offensively. What is their offensive identity? Seth, you want to go ahead and try to give them something?
I don't know if this is an identity, but inconsistent is the word that I would go with.
Most definitely an identity. And explain what you mean by inconsistent.
Week to week, you never really know what you're going to get with their offense. Is the running game going to be there? Is Russell Wilson going to be able to have time to throw? And if he does, is he going to make his throws? You never really know with the Seahawks. They're currently 25th in passing offense and 23rd in rushing offense. They're not the very bottom, but certainly below where you would want them to be for a consistent offense.
All right. Right.
Yeah.
DJ, go ahead and give it a shot. Identify this offense.
I'm gonna say blah. That's kind of. I don't even know. They traditionally they've been a power run team, and that's just
okay.
It's just
DJ,
not there anymore.
You're a football guy, and yeah. I need this question answered because Pete Carroll gets to a microphone to the media and just explains how his team is a run first team. And I refuse to believe that their main priority right now is to run the football. Can you explain what it means to be run first?
It means no matter what you do, everything is going to play off of the run.
Okay.
So play action, a lot of the passes, they're going to be, you know, focused on the run in like a play fake or something like that. But early in the game, you're going to want to establish that run.
Okay.
And then maybe go away from it a little bit to get some explosive plays.
They get away from it quite quick.
Yeah, but once you get that lead, you want to, you know, those runs are going to start to wear and tear like we saw the 2014 Super Bowl winning Seahawks do.
Right.
They would just late third quarter, all of the fourth quarter, just hand it to Marshawn and just constantly wear down that defense. And it takes its toll. And right now, you know, it's not taking its toll. So the Hawks are having to be more creative in trying to find ways to score.
Right, right. If I were to identify this team, the Seattle Seahawks group, offensively, my word would be recess. And the reason it would be recess is because this team does, just watching them, they're so much significantly better when Russell Wilson runs away or there's a sense of urgency, whether you call that the two-minute drill or something like that, but he runs out of the pocket and then throws the ball down the field to find someone who is open. Similar to what you would do if you were playing football with your buddies during recess.
That's a great, honestly.
That's when this offense is at its best. And that's what I'm going to identify them through the early part of this season right now after this bye week. It's a recess offense. And I don't know how sustainable that is. I don't think you can do that for an entire game, run your two-minute drill for 60 minutes and make your defense play extra time on the field, but that's when they're the best. And until they fix that, they're always, to me, they're going to look like and be and perform like a recess offense.
One thing that usually happens at recess when is, you know, the quarterback scrambles a lot.
Right.
And right now, Russell Wilson, if we take away Chris Carson, which he's out for the season, Russell Wilson is leading this team in rushing with 154 yards. Eddie Lacy is the next closest guy at 74. So I said this last week, we're going to have to try and find ways to run the ball, whether it's quick screens out to the wide receiver when the safeties or cornerbacks are playing off, or just a little more creative in the run game. And I think that offensive line is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to keep getting better going forward in order for this Hawks team to be successful and try to get in the playoffs, win the NFC West, and make a deep run.
Absolutely.
I want to see Rawls and Procise get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen them really all season long, and I'm tired of seeing Eddie Lacy go out there and fall over as soon as he gets touched every play.
Procise's problem is health issues, and it's kind of the same with Rawls. I know Rawls has been healthy for the majority of the year, but Procise has been inactive, I believe, the last 2 weeks.
Man, Rawls had one good game against Cincinnati, and people think he's a great running back. Dude hasn't done anything.
I think, you know, he's got a big upside. We just haven't,
right. You've
we
seen
just
it
haven't
one
seen
time.
It. Yes.
Yeah.
So people, you know, people are still hoping. They're still hopeful for that, but that hope,
you don't know what Thomas
that
Rawls
hope is. It's closing.
That hope's the best it's thing closing. We got. All right.
He's got a work ethic though, a very good work ethic.
So that's how we identify the Seattle Seahawks so far through the first part of the 2017 season. Right now it's time for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about instant replay in sports. There was a situation during the NLDS where there was an instant replay controversy, and we want to talk about that play and instant replay as a whole in sports. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere. It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people. And you're better than that.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I'm joined in studio by a member of the PLU football team. His name is DJ Winter. And our new co-host, he's a half athlete just like me. His name is Seth Bershing. If you want to listen to the entire show in full form, you can do it at mastmedia.pou.edu. Go underneath the sports tab, scroll down and find sports podcasts, and you can find Half Athlete Radio. You can find What's the Big Deal? And you can also find HNC Sports, other sports content here on Laser. Check it out there. What we're most excited about is the growth of our YouTube page. We're all the way up to 57 subscribers on YouTube.
Woo!
If you want to help us out and subscribe to our YouTube page, you can do that. Go over to Half Athlete Radio on YouTube and go ahead and subscribe. It really helps us out. If you want to call into the show and talk to us about anything, we're still trying to figure out which Winter had the better day on Saturday against Whitworth. Between DJ and Brady.
So far, it's not 50-50 anymore.
Yeah.
Heine cast his vote and cast it for Brady. So what is that? Does that put it at...
I'm not going to give you the numbers on that. Brady's winning by one.
52-48, Brady.
Okay, there it is. There it is. You help us decide which winner had the better day, or if you like instant replay in sports, we're going to talk about that next. You can do it 253-535-7332. Again, it's 253-535-7332. 32, and the reason that I wanted to talk about instant replay in sports today is because last week during the NLDS, the Cubs and Nationals were playing, and the Nationals were down by one in the bottom of the eighth inning. Runners on first and second with two outs.
Pivotal time.
Very, just a crucial, almost storybook time in the game for the Nationals. And there was a pitch thrown. The catcher from the Cubs turned and threw a back fake down to first base. A tag was applied. Initially, the runner was called safe. It went to replay review. Part of the rule that they stress the most is conclusive evidence. And during the replay, we kind of saw that the Nationals base runner's foot had popped up off the bag and the tag was still on there. But I didn't think it was enough. Maybe internally, I didn't want that moment to be taken away from the game. Regardless, it was overturned and the Cubs would go on to play in the NLCS.
So they're currently down 2-0.
Yeah, it's 3, I think, almost now, right? Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah, it's 3-0. My fault.
So... It was a pivotal time. It's a tough deal. The rules are kind of being exploited. And I want you guys to give your thoughts on replay in sports. What do you think of them? Are they needed? Are they not needed? What's the deal?
I'm a supporter of instant replay. I think football, it's great. Baseball, it's great. My argument to you said it was a pivotal time in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my kind of argument to that is, leave no doubt. If you're the base runner, don't take a big lead like that, or get back to the base sooner than than you were, because you leave that, you put it in the hands of the umpires at that point. And in my opinion, I didn't think it was conclusive at all. I think he should have stayed safe. You did have the question of his foot did come off the base, but like I said, it wasn't conclusive. But my argument to that is, don't give him any shadow of, don't give him any room to make that call.
I give the leave no doubt, but you're also putting the game in the hands of cameras, who a lot of the time turn out to be better than the actual umpire. So I get the leave no doubt thing. Seth, what do you think about it?
I do like instant replay, and the reason I feel that way is because of the Jim Joyce incident with the Detroit Tigers pitcher.
Oh, no, Galarraga.
Armando Galarraga.
Yes, yes, I remember
2012
that.
2012 or 2013.
Oh, that was rough.
With two outs in the ninth inning, he called a base runner safe at first when he was clearly out, which took away Galarraga's perfect game.
Yeah, that was bad.
And he felt terrible about it.
That was before they had instant replay and challenges in baseball. And if they would have had it, they could have reversed that call and he'd have a perfect game.
Yeah. I think the angle that I would like to take with instant replay in sports is that, yes, we've added the technology of instant replay, but in a lot of the places, think about baseball, they're still using the same bases they used in 1950. They're still using the same lines for football that they used when football wasn't, yes, the way to officiate a game has advanced, but the technology that could help officiate a game has not. Does that make sense? So if I can put a...
You think more camera angles then, or...
No, just more camera angles, but more everything. Like, if I can put a chip in my dog to find out where he is when he runs away,
yeah,
why is there not a chip in an NBA player's shoes to see if they stepped out of bounds? Why is there not a chip in the ball? You know, why do we have to go back and look at whether that's a two or a three and take 35 minutes when we can just put, you know, a chip in his shoe and a chip in the ball and a, you know, some sort of identifier for both of those chips at the three-point line and out of bounds and things like that.
I think that gets into more than just instant replay as a whole.
It's part of it, though. I think it starts with instant replay.
I think it just gets into, like, the technology of sports. I mean, that is a great point. We can use technology, and we could even implant more into it. I think it's great. I think instant replay is great for football. I said it earlier, football is a game of inches. And
so if it's a game of inches, then why are we still using chains to measure 10 yards? Like, that's ridiculous. Why isn't there something else?
That's a great point.
replay is where it starts,
yeah.
And we're already there, and now we're already to the point where rules are getting exploited with replay.
And you talk about the instant replay. We saw the Jets in the Patriots game. Mm-hmm. Seferian Jenkins was going in to score, and the refs totally blew that call, in my opinion. They said he was fumbling. But he regained possession, in my opinion, in bounce. But that was a pivotal moment in that game,
right,
which could have sent it to 21-24 against the Pats, who are arguably the top team in the AFC East right now.
Right.
So, I mean, that's another – the refs exploited that rule too. So,
I don't know. Seth, do you have thoughts on whether technology should continue to go in sports, or are we going to always have this debate where – oh my goodness, his foot popped off the bag, now he's out. Like, why isn't there new bases in baseball? Like, what's the deal?
I know in at least Major League Baseball, they've considered removing umpires altogether in place of some kind of robotic umpire system.
Especially
so that
the
they can have
zone.
A set strike zone. So I think that there are going to be technological advancements and changes in every sport. It's just going to take some time. I think the traditionalists are going to fight that, but I think it will happen at some point.
I think you always need to have that human element, because that's a part of the game.
Well, you're going to need officials for the human element, but yes. As far as, like, you know, you've already kind of made that, you've opened up the box of, okay, now we need a halo for a base instead of an
literally
actual...
Literally opened up the box.
Yeah. you need that there instead of, you know, I don't know. The foot popping off the bag in baseball has always been the most gimmicky part of instant replay in baseball. Like, I understand it for fair and foul and things like that, but for especially...
That's a tough one, because there's... You were talking about the modern technology. I don't know if there's anything that we can do to, you know, take care of that.
Somebody
that
smarter than
specific
me will come up
issue.
With it. Somebody smarter than me will come up with it. Like I said, a halo for a bag. Like, maybe that's the new case where if they're in this area before the ball gets back, they're safe. Maybe it's just me really wanting to see what would have happened if that hitter would have got to hit with two runners on, down by one, bottom of the eighth, with a chance to go on to the league championship series.
Yeah.
That could also be a large part
Bryce
of this,
Harper ended up striking out, so.
Yeah, but that was with nobody on, you know, not really a threat there. I mean, he could have hit that home run, but all that would have done is tie it.
Yeah.
If he hits a home run with two runners on, oh my goodness, they just went up by two.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's a crazy game like that now.
Yeah. It is.
I don't know.
And it was a crazy game. It was like a 4-hour game, too.
Yeah.
When we're talking about technology, I know MLB has talked about speeding up the game. We had that conversation last year, I believe.
Speeding up games.
Yeah.
We talked about extra innings, I think, specifically.
Extra innings,
that
yeah.
idea that both teams are going to get to start with a runner on second base after, like, the 13th inning, or maybe even right away in extra innings, and see what would happen after that. But
I think instant replay is a good thing for sports overall.
I don't know. I think there's more to come from it, because now it's getting exploited, especially in baseball, with foot popping off the bag and things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Seth, you got any final thoughts on technology and sports and how...
I gotta go with DJ. I do think it's a good thing, but I'll agree with you, though, that there are changes that can be made. We can definitely improve the system. There's no reason to be complacent with how it is now.
Absolutely. Hey, you shouldn't be complacent when it comes to listening to sports content on Laser. Check out HNC Sports on Friday at 10:30 a.m. Heine Alou and Carson Barnett. They talk a ton of football, so if you want to get your football fill before the weekend starts, and you can... you know, check out everything you got right there, Agency Sports on Laser at 10:30 a.m. Also, check out What's the Big Deal. I believe they're on Tuesdays now. So check out What's the Big Deal right here on Laser. Dylan Foreman, Sarah Cornell-Meyer, and Zach Goff. They're on Laser. You got to hear their show. It's great. We're out of time here. We got to move on. A lot of fun stuff that we talked about today. Again, check us out on YouTube, Half Athlete Radio, and check us out on massmedia.plu.edu for entire shows in full podcast form. All right, for Seth Bursting, DJ Winter, my name is Christian Bond. We're out of here. See ya.